The church is composed of the faithful living upon the earth and those who have gone before us. The latter includes the saints in heaven and the faithful souls being purified in purgatory, just as on November the 1st, we honor those who are with God, and on November the 2nd, Catholics celebrate a commemoration of all the faithful departed. Also known as All Souls Day, on this day, we honor them for their fidelity in life, as well as pray for them, since they are being purified before entering the all-holy presence of God. As Revelation chapter 21 verse 27 says of the heavenly Jerusalem, nothing unclean shall enter it. The word purgatory comes from Latin purgare, which means to purify or to make clean. Purgatory is a temporary, transitional state between death and eternal life with God. Those in purgatory are guaranteed of their place in heaven. We read in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, all who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they undergo purification, so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. Purgatory is God's mercy and justice. Purgatory is hope and suffering. Purgatory is the burning love of Jesus Christ. As we draw closer to All Souls Day, I want to share with you this homily of Monsignor Dan Hermes of St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church. He explains in perfect and simple details about what we need to understand about purgatory and the suffering souls there. This may be one of the best talks about purgatory out there.
Having All Souls Day on a Sunday is a neat and pretty rare opportunity. It doesn't happen that often. It's a chance to look at what we believe as Catholics about life and death, heaven, hell, and purgatory. In other words, some very basic truths of our Catholic faith. We believe, first of all, that we are immortal. Did you ever think of that? You are immortal. You are going to live forever. It's true. It's overpowering. It's good to think about more than a little bit. Our soul is never going to die. I think that truth today is less obvious than it once was, so it's good to think about it often. Lord, I'm immortal. I'm going to live forever. We believe that God creates our soul, that it is made by God, and it's also made for God. Mom and Dad create my humanity, but God creates our soul. Its purpose and its deepest identity, both here on earth and forever in heaven, is to adore God. We are made to adore the one who created our soul, God. It's a great commercial for the Adoration Chapel, because you can start right here on earth what you're going to be doing forever in heaven, adoring God. That's why our soul is created. Only God can create a soul, no human being. The holiest human in the world cannot create a soul, only God. The devil wants us to forget that we have a soul and that we will live forever. The devil would say, just live for now. Forget about the future. Just do it right now. St. Augustine put it this way, as you know, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and we will not rest until we rest in you. Our soul is made for God. That's where we belong for all eternity. One of, I think, the best experiences of knowing we have an immortal soul is going to a loved one's wake and kneeling there by the body to pray. They're physically recognizable to us, but we know it's not them. We would say, it's not them. And indeed, it's not. Because, not just because their heart has stopped beating, but because the principle of life, the soul, is gone from that body. Gone, as our first reading told us, not just into nothingness or into space, but gone into the hands of a loving God. The souls of the just, we heard, are in the hands of a loving God. That's where we go. We know that we will not live forever here on earth. Our life on this earth is limited. And death puts an end to our time either to accept or reject Jesus Christ and the life that he offers us. A day before I die, 10 minutes before I die, I can decide to accept Jesus Christ. But once I die, at that point, those choices are no longer possible. That's why a holy death is so important. The moment of our death is by far, the most important moment of our life. That's why also there's no such thing as an insignificant life. Every human has infinite importance and significance because every human soul is going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. A lively awareness of that I'm going to live forever is a good thing because it helps us to ask ourselves often, just in our normal day, what will this choice or this action matter in the sight of eternity? Will it send me to God or will it send me away from God? How does this shake out in the sight of eternity? Great question to ask ourselves all during our day as we go through a normal day. It's obvious, but maybe it needs to be said, that very few of us are going to die perfect with absolutely no human imperfections. One of my favorite jokes, it's a funeral and the casket's right here in the front and the priest is going on and on about the gentleman who's in the casket, his wonderful qualities, his virtues. Finally, his widow in the front pew can't stand it anymore. She stands up. She says, "Stop, Father, open the lid. I think we got the wrong guy in there." It's true. None of us is probably going to die perfect. All of us have human imperfections. So, thank God for purgatory. Purgatory is not a problem. It's an incredible gift from God to us. The place after death where those who are imperfectly purified, probably most of us, go to undergo purification, so as to have the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. Sin cannot enter heaven. The effects of sin on our soul cannot enter heaven. So purgatory is actually an action of God, cleansing us of all sin and all effects of sin, so we are ready to go to heaven. We believe that even while they're being purified, the souls in purgatory experience a great happiness as they draw nearer and nearer to God, to heaven. They're able to see God on fire with extreme love for them. Think of it, right now, God is loving us. St. Catherine of Siena has that beautiful, she had visions with Jesus, and she saw this soul. It was radiant. She said, "Jesus, that must be one of the greatest saints of the church." Jesus said, "No, that's just a normal soul being loved by me." Right now, God is loving every one of us with an extreme love that we cannot imagine. But in purgatory, we get it. The filters are gone, and we experience that extreme love that God has for us always. And that moves the souls in purgatory even closer to God. Finally, and this speaks to the heart of All Souls Day today, we believe that part of the joy of belonging to the church is the privilege of helping the holy souls in purgatory to enter heaven. They cannot pray for themselves, but we can pray for them. We can have holy mass offered for them. We can remember them in our prayers, in indulgences, in works of penance that we do for them. I remember Mom on her deathbed saying, "Pray for me, Dan, pray for me." And it felt so weird to me because Mom is the holiest woman I've ever known. But we don't know. So I've taken her seriously, and I pray for her, all my loved ones, but I pray for Mom every day, for all the holy souls. Another wonderful thing is, if you have any regrets about things you did or didn't do to a loved one who's died, things you did or didn't say to a loved one who has died, you can still do something to make up for that. Pray for them. And no pun intended, they'll be eternally grateful to you. They will. You can help them. The bonds of love, all of us have experienced this when we lose someone we love. The bonds of love in this life do not end with their death. We still love them. So we can still love our loved ones who have died and continue to help them by our prayers. I'd like to share kind of parenthetically a thought that I have more and more about children and death. Mom died in 1985 of cancer. It was very quick. She only lived a little over 3 months after she found out she had it. It was very hard for the whole family. We had a great gift. We had a private wake just with the family, with Dad and all the sons and daughters-in-law, all her grandchildren. We're all at the wake for about 3 hours, just ourselves. And my brothers and their wives would go up to the casket, kneel down. They were crying quite a bit. And their little 3 and 4 and 5 year olds would go up with them. They'd look at mommy and daddy crying. They'd look at grandma. Then they'd walk away. Maybe a little later, come up and look at grandma again. My point is, yes, it was painful, but it was natural. Death is a natural part of life. And I thought my brothers and their wives were so wise not to shield their children from that experience. Death is natural. There's that powerful book, if you get a chance to read it, called The Denial of Death. It talks about how we deny death in our society or try to pretty it up, and the price we pay for doing that. We walk together into death as a family of faith. I remember a few years ago, I was teaching the children the last verse of the Angel of God prayer, right, which I find hardly anybody knows, which is, "From sinful stain, O keep me free, and at death's hour, my helper be. Amen." So teaching it to children, and two of the moms there said, "Monsignor, please don't teach that to my child." I said, "Okay, why?" "Well, you're talking about death. You said, guardian angel, at death's hour, help me." I said, "Do you think they can't handle that? Children can handle that. Death is a natural part of life. We believe in ordinary means of preserving life, food and hydration. We can't take away food or hydration from a dying person, but we don't have to do extraordinary means because we don't have to cling desperately to this life. All of us will die. Death is a natural and a holy part of our life. Saint Joseph is the patron of a happy death. It's easy to see, right? Because there he is dying. There's Jesus on one side of the bed. There's Mary on the other side. It doesn't get much better than that. So he's a patron of a happy death. Is there such a thing as a happy death? Of course. When that person has lived their life with Christ, when they are ready to go and meet our Lord, they are experiencing a happy death indeed. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their soul, the souls of all of our loved ones, the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Now the message of purgatory presented to us by the saints and mystics over the years is a reminder to us that souls don't just make it to heaven right away. There are souls still being purified who are in desperate need of our prayers, and purgatory is nothing other than an experience of the burning and purifying mercy of God, a purifying love that consumes all defects with its intensity. While it may be strange for us to think of love and mercy as inflicting pain, this is the reality of purgatory. We have the power to help our suffering friends and bring them relief. To do so is an act of mercy and self-giving love. The sacrifice it requires of us is minimal, and yet the rewards are great. Let us renew our commitment to praying for our brothers and sisters who suffer in the purifying love of God.